Ken Hensley of Uriah Heep is our guest in this report. Brian Matthew in London for the makers of Sirt's Mints.
I tried it and my mouth felt really kind of fresh and cool.
Anna Maria Comstock, high school sophomore, talks about the Sirt's breath test and trying out for the school play.
I was at auditions for the school play. I had to face a director.
Uh-huh.
And just before I got up on stage to audition, I had Sirt's.
Yeah.
And after I had eaten it, I tried the Sirt's breath test because I figured I'd need all the help I could get up there, and it worked.
Sirt's with Retsin, two mints in one. It keeps on working even after the candy's gone.
Ken Hensley, a founder member of Uriah Heep, is generally recognized as the main musical force in the band. Heep is now on the road with a new lineup, and Ken tells us why they parted company with singer David Byron.
When we fired David in June last year, when we had all these changes, it was not so much that we were changing the personnel, really. The most important thing was that we were reworking the group's attitude to what it was doing, you see, because there was such a clash of feelings, personalities, and such a breakdown of communication in the group over the 2 years prior to making these changes. On the one hand, you had people saying, well, look, listen, what we've been doing for so many years has always been successful, so why change it? And there's some argument in favour of that, I suppose. But it seemed a little bit too defensive. I mean, you have to sort of take certain gambles in this business. You have to make certain changes and try new things.
Ken Hensley. For a time, it appeared that Eric Clapton might have found personal contentment at the expense of his creative drive. The laid-back country flavour of his recent work disappointed many former fans, and most critics had just about written off this legendary guitarist. But those lucky enough to be at a concert in Glasgow recently apparently witnessed something of a reincarnation. According to Sounds magazine, Eric got off to a slow start with his acoustic guitar, then in his first number on electric, he suddenly swooped into a breathtaking solo. The critic writes, "You just don't hear playing of that quality anywhere else. That true and beautiful combination of melodic shape and inspiration with rocket fuel rhythm drive. It was a spine-shivering experience." Melody Maker says the gig was full of surprises, nostalgia, and a feeling of togetherness. The band was very good, but Eric left them 10 miles behind. And according to Record Mirror, he was back in the Michelangelo class, combining elegance with raw power. Ken Hensley plays keyboards and guitar and writes most of Uriah Heep's material. The band's never had many friends among the rock critics, and we asked Ken what he thought of the present state of Britain's music journalism.
I think the state of the rock press is pretty poor, but I think it's only really a reflection of the state of rock and roll in this country at the moment. I mean, I also made some statements recently where I was generally criticising the overall face of rock and roll as it is at the moment, in England in particular. Because all of the established rock and roll people are the ones that are supposed to really lead the way, you know, and I feel that for various reasons, a lot of them are just sitting down and not bothering to tour anymore. And I think that we owe it to ourselves as well as to everybody else to try and find new ways and new paths and new areas to develop rock and roll.
Ken Hensley. Little Feat should be quite pleased with the first British review of their new album, Time Loves a Hero. Writing in Sounds magazine, Pete Makowski says, the whole band seems to have developed a more upfront attitude to putting over their ideas, and with Ted Sailing Shoes Templeman's excellent production, even on initial hearing, this comes over as a mighty powerful album. Every song, as usual, is an epic in itself, and there are a few surprises. The album is crammed with classics, from the complex but good time structures of Day at the Dog Races to the Neanderthal grunt of Old Folks Boogie, from the scorching power blast funk workout of High Roller to the lilting chords of Missing You. Our West Coast correspondent tells us that Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young are now approving the final mixes of their reunion album. Meanwhile, Neil Young has completed his next album, American Stars and Bars, but Warner Brothers Records still have no idea when it'll be released. Young withdrew his last scheduled release, a 3-record retrospective of his entire career, only days before it was due to go on sale. Uriah Heep have just completed a major tour of Britain and the continent and are about to take their new lineup to the United States. Before Ken Hensley left for a pre-tour holiday in Florida, we asked the veteran heavy metal musician what he thought of the movement described as new wave or punk rock.
I'm not that sort of up on it, to tell you the truth, because I don't think it has any particular musical validity, and so I don't follow it very much. I only think that my only comment really is that punk rock has achieved the recognition it's achieved more from the lack of energy from other areas of rock and roll than from its own actual virtue. I don't think there's any particular virtue in punk rock. It's only really a resurrection of what most of us were doing 10, 12, 15 years ago. And I only think it's been publicised because there's been nothing else for people to write about. So I don't think it's really doing rock and roll much good.
And because this word energy is used so much with reference to the new wave music, we asked Ken Hensley how he'd define energy.
Energy, I mean, is a word which has been used and abused throughout the existence of rock and roll. I think at one time the term high energy was applied to anything that was loud. So I think they were talking about actual electrical energy rather than physical energy. But the energy I refer to is the energy which people apply to their actual job, you know. I mean, I consider that I'm one of the most energetic people in the business because I'm always working, you know. I'm always writing and I'm always thinking. And I feel that this is just as important as the energy that you can actually see on stage, the visual energy. The actual behind-the-scenes energy is what I'm talking about, the preparation. And the actual interest in what you're doing.
Ken Hensley of Uriah Heep.
Hey, ever seen that Trident commercial where the little kid says, "It's the only gum my mom lets me chew"? Well, I chew what I want. And you know what I chew? Trident sugarless gum. But my mom's got nothing to do with it. I mean, they're my teeth, not hers.
Remember, 4 out of 5 dentists surveyed recommend sugarless gum for their patients who chew gum.
Look, if you think about it, Trident makes sense. It tastes good, lasts a long time, and it's sugarless. I'm sticking with Trident. I don't know, maybe I'm getting smarter as I get older.
The members of Uriah Heep are Ken Hensley on keyboards, guitar and vocals, Mick Box on guitar, Trevor Boulder on bass, John Lawton on lead vocals, and Lee Kerslake on drums and vocals. We asked Ken who writes their material.
I've been doing all the writing practically up until now. I mean, there were a couple of phases when we tried to, you know, get other people to write more. I can remember Sweet Freedom was like that, Return to Fantasy was a bit like that. You know, we were really just trying to cultivate more involvement, if you like, from the others. But then it kind of slipped back into the same groove it was always in. And High and Mighty, I wrote all the songs on Firefly, I wrote all the songs except one. But that's only because, really, by the time we went into Cut Firefly, John and Trevor had only been in the band for 3 weeks. I expect by the time we go into Cut the next album in August, they will have been able to get more involved in the preparation of the material rather than just in the execution of it.
Ken Hensley. Some of the thousands who were unable to get tickets for the Eagles London concerts were probably hoping to hear that the band wasn't so good after all. But reports from those who saw the Eagles hold little consolation for the Spoilsports. Even rock critics who attended under protest, expecting to have their brains damaged by an overdose of easy listening, were agreeably surprised. One such writer is Michael Oldfield from Melody Maker, who says he was expecting the worst. And when the band kicked off with Hotel California, making it sound exactly the same as on the record, Oldfield was convinced that safety would be the theme of the concert. But wait, halfway through, writes Oldfield, there's an ominous thunk from stage right. It sounds like a restless guitarist. And lo and behold, Joe Walsh breaks out of the studio straitjacket with a blistering solo. Tastefulness be damned, this is rock and roll. And there was better to come. The critic says that Walsh was blasting out the chords with an energy and enthusiasm that would put a heavy metal band to shame. Uriah Heep was formed in 1970, and their first album, Very Heavy, Very Humble, came out in 1971. They've released 12 albums and have maintained strong followings throughout the world, despite the general hostility of critics. As keyboards player guitarist Ken Hensley told us earlier, up until now, he's been writing all the band's material.
I prefer to be at home when I'm writing now. I've found that, you know, I have a small studio at home, an 8-track studio, and it's my favourite kind of environment when it comes to writing. But I still put things together on the road. I still put things together at the strangest times, really, sometimes when I'm driving home. I just allow the ideas to come whenever they're ready to come, you know. I mean, it's a situation where I have sat down and tried to write to order, as it were, and it's never really worked out. It's not a very satisfying way of working. They always sound very forced, songs that come that way. So I prefer to write at home.
Ken Hensley of Uriah Heep. The new 10cc album, Deceptive Bends, has received mixed reviews. Two members of the original lineup, Lol Cream and Kevin Godley, left 10cc a few months ago, and the critics were wondering how the other founder members, Eric Stewart and Graham Gouldman, would cope with the 50% cut in potential ideas. The reviewer in Sound says he wouldn't like to jump to conclusions before hearing the LP some more, but thinks he detects a lack of aggression. Too often, he says, there's a mellowness which the original band would have relieved with a few abrasive touches. Record Mirror says that on some of the tracks, the arrangements are too cold and clinical. Nevertheless, it's a reasonable album, says the magazine, from a distinctive band that would blow most others out of the studio. The most enthusiastic review is in Melody Maker. The critic says it's a fine album, not one to be looked back upon in years to come as brilliant or a classic, but then it makes no pretensions of that sort. All it sets out to be is a very solid, rewarding and unpretentious album, and that it achieves with distinction. In a previous report, Ken Hensley said that he found the current rock scene in Britain pretty unimpressive, but he does like some of the American bands which have emerged recently.
I've been very impressed by a lot of bands, Aerosmith, Little Feat, Ted Nugent to some extent I found quite impressive. The Eagles, of course, I've known for a long time and I've always been impressed by what they're doing. And Boston, that's another group which I actually heard a lot of because they had a couple of really big records over there. And right there you've got four or five names in very, very different styles of music, which just gives you an idea of what's happening. I mean, they all come from relatively different parts of the country, and there's all these different styles of music embodied in just a couple of years, and I think that that in itself speaks very highly for their approach to the business over there and also for the record companies and so on.
Ken Hensley. Time for a quick look at the London new wave scene, as even those who've been appalled by the professed nihilism and violence of some of these bands are now forced to admit that at least some of the musicians are showing signs of making lasting contributions to rock music. The outfits attracting most attention are The Damned, The Clash, and The Stranglers. The Damned gave a few performances in America recently, and it didn't exactly cause mass hysteria, but veteran rock watchers in London are convinced that this band has enough talent and drive to get to the top. A recent album from The Clash was hailed as a major breakthrough by several critics, and The Who's Roger Daltrey has spoken highly of the band. He also likes The Stranglers, who've just released an LP described by New Musical Express as brilliant. Every track is a little masterpiece, says the reviewer. However, he adds that he hopes nobody will buy the album because the lyrics are as sexist as anything he's ever heard. So male chauvinist, the critic writes, that he's actually seen a girl reduced to tears by this LP. Meanwhile, our old friends the Sex Pistols are still looking for a recording deal, having misbehaved their way out of two major contracts in quick succession. The new look Uriah Heep will soon begin an extensive tour of America. Ken Hensley says that the emphasis will be on music.
What we're going to take to the States this year on this tour is a much more refined and professional show, which leans more on the music than on the effects. You're quite right, we've abandoned bombs and bangs and crashes because it's so played out now, and also because we've tried for years, or I've been frantically trying for years, to get the band recognised more from a musical standpoint. And I think that, to a certain extent, obviously there is a lot of production in our show. I mean, we produce the show, the lights are very effective, but it's all harmonious now. There's nothing inappropriate, if you like. Everything that we do from a production point of view is in harmony with the music.
Ken Hensley, who says that, along with many other bands, Uriah Heep has decided to avoid playing in huge buildings.
I don't like playing in giant arenas because, although it might be good from an economical point of view and from a financial standpoint, it's very bad from a musical point of view because, I mean, I think that no more than about a third of the audience can see and hear what they've basically paid to come and see and hear. So we are moving back into smaller buildings. I think that when it comes to pyrotechnics and really, really extravagant productions, then people like Kiss have virtually got the market sewn up. I mean, there's no point in anything that, say, we were to do in the same category would be really just a feeble attempt at reproducing what they do because their whole thing is production.
Uriah Heep tour America soon and have just given concerts all over Europe. Before that, as Ken Hensley tells us, the band did a very short tour of the States.
We spent, I think it was something like 5 months off the road getting the new band together and rehearsing with John and Trevor and then cutting the new album. And so we got sort of a little bit stale, a bit rusty. as far as actual travelling was concerned, but then we sort of went straight back into our old routine of touring all the time. The American tour was really basically to let everyone know, the one that we did over December and January was basically to let everyone know we were back together again and introduce the new guys to our touring approach. And then we've just finished a big European tour and UK tour, and I would say quite definitely it was probably the best European tour we've ever done.
Ken Hensley. Roger Daltrey is very excited about his new solo album. He's been telling a London music journalist that it's the best thing he's ever done, and is particularly pleased with two songs, one called Avenging Annie by Andy Pratt, for whom Roger has a high regard, and another called The Prisoner, which is about the helplessness of those who find themselves in jail. Don't listen to it if you're in a low mood, warns Roger. He's already preparing to go into the studio to make another solo album. He wants to get it out of the way before The Who start their next studio project. Asked if he'd consider doing any solo concerts, Roger said, I was offered $500,000 to do two shows in America, and I didn't want to do it. My stage presence belongs to The Who, and I'm sure I wouldn't be much different on my own. Roger said that he knew The Who wouldn't last forever, but while the band was there, it was the most important thing in his life. Our New York correspondent tells us that the band backing Joan Baez on her American tour will feature Steely Dan sideman Elliot Randall. Randall is also on Joan's upcoming album and did the arrangements for some of the tracks. A further comment now from Ken Hensley on the new look Uriah Heep about to tour America.
The band has now tightened itself right up and is very together, and the show, I think, is one of the best shows we've ever had on the road, so I'm very happy. It's a great reward for all the hard work we put in last summer, you know. The only unknown factor, of course, was how people were going to react to the new faces and the new sound of the band. But that was very quickly, those fears were quickly quelled when we went to America, because there was absolutely no question, no hesitation at all. Everyone just, the band was still the band as far as they were concerned. And I think it's a sign of how much we were appreciated as a band rather than as a singer and a backing group sort of thing. And people have always identified with Uriah Heep as being a group rather than a collection of individuals.
Ken Hensley. Yet another former member of Deep Purple has released a solo album. This time it's David Coverdale, who was singer with the famous band after Ian Gillan. David's album is called Whitesnake, and Sounds magazine says that because Coverdale was a late comer to Deep Purple, the album probably won't get the attention it deserves. Upon the breakup of Deep Purple, Coverdale said, I don't want to scream anymore. Shortly afterwards, he went into the studio to record this album, and according to one critic, proved that he could actually sing. While we're on the subject of critics paying compliments, a London rock writer has just visited Chicago to see Boston in concert and reports thus. Boston's music is the most joyful, upbeat thing I've heard since the early Beatles or the heyday of Sly and the Family Stone. Lead singer Dave Delp's gimmick is having no gimmick. He just sings or claps or runs about stirring up the audience to more enthusiasm like a college cheerleader. He seemed to be enjoying himself just as much as the audience, and everyone in the place was smiling. At this stage, Boston is a winner all the way, and the new songs included in the act indicated that it will be that way for a long time. Now Ken Hensley tells us about Uriah Heep's schedule for the next few months.
Starts on May the 6th in Wichita, Kansas. And it'll take us all around the Midwest, right down the East Coast, Northeast we're going to, and down into Texas and Georgia and Nashville. But it ends on June the 26th, and we'll be back here. I would imagine we'll all straggle back eventually by about the end of June, beginning of July. And then a week or so after that, when we've recuperated, we'll get into rehearsals. Spend the whole of July rehearsing, I expect, preparing for the album. And we'll also do some work in my studio just to get the material thoroughly prepared. And then we'll come into the Roundhouse and we'll start recording on August the 1st.
If you're not going to get the chance to see Uriah Heep, their new album Firefly is now available. The Roundhouse mentioned by Ken Hensley is a London recording studio. The Atlanta Rhythm Section, now touring Britain, may not be together much longer. These veteran session musicians say that they don't see the band as a long-term project. Lead singer Ronnie Hammond says that he can't stand the thought of being handled as a commodity like a packet of frozen peas. Bass player Paul Goddard says he doesn't care for life on the road. But before there is any serious previous talk of disbanding, the Atlanta Rhythm Section will definitely be doing some more recording. Their hit album, A Rock and Roll Alternative, has not yet made much impression in Britain, and their debut London concert failed to sell out. A pity, because as Record Mirror puts it, the band delivered the goods. The magazine said that the concert turned out to be one of the pleasant surprises of the year. Music Week says the music is raw, basic and compulsive. Within minutes of the band coming on stage, the audience was joining in with foot stomping and hand clapping. The writer adds that if the reaction of the fans is anything to go by, the Atlanta Rhythm Section will soon be repeating their American chart success in Britain.
I use certs when I go out on a date. You can tell when you breathe in and everything, it's cool and refreshing.
Jane Scanlon of San Francisco talks about dating and the certs breath test.
Just after you've finished the certs, you can go without feeling too foolish, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And it lasts, and it, makes you feel more confident and all.
Certs with Retsin, 2 mints in one. It keeps on working even after the candy's gone.
I'm a tried and true believer.
Until our next roundup of rock news from London, goodbye.